We're a family here tonight. There's so many things that we trust God for, and we're really experiencing God is working in our midst. And it's such a privilege to know that we serve the Almighty God. That's the only reason that we can have faith for the little ones and to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. I still remember when Leon, myself, when Gustav was born, we got home, sat on the couch, and you think, okay, so what now? So there's the baby, there's wifey, and things must happen. And it's a bit difficult. And the only thing that you can hold on to is God. That's the only stable thing in your life. And this one, while we were away a couple of weeks ago, I was just speaking to one of my friends in Swellendam, Thijs. He's one of those guys that I like to see. When the girl dumped me, I phoned Thijs. So there we were crying together. And still today, we are family. It's my brother. He's in Swellendam. And there's other friends all over. Obviously, you guys, we're also family. We're growing closer together. But that's the beauty about family. Being there for one another. Helping one another. And I still remember now, just this last time, I was there and Thijs had a problem with his shoulder. And he said, Jaco, we must pray for the shoulder. And we must really trust God because he must go for operation. And things is not looking good for him. And he just started CrossFit. Don't know if it's related. So I said, okay, we can pray. And praise God, he's back in the box. He's just doing it again. But he was really, for him, it was a really desperate situation. It was something that he just realized he can, the doctor saying this and this and this, and he got the injections. And now the other option was just the operation and everything. And I told him, man, we can trust God for anything. If we can't trust God for breakthroughs in our life, if there's something in our life that we can't trust God for, if we can't pray for that thing, for a breakthrough anymore, then who's our God? He's the God that died for us. He's the God that came and gave us life and life in abundance. But just as I'm going to share some thoughts around family. This family, healthy families, is also something that we must fight for. For what we have here in church, this is our church family. In small group, that's our family. But also the homes that we come from, parents, all of that, that's family. And family is really the foundation of society. And we as a Cape Town church and Century City, we are going to we're making a difference in Cape Town. This is what we're going for all the time, to bring justice, to restore God's justice in this area. I just love Bernie's sermon about the band of brothers. We're standing together, we run together, we walk together, and we pray together. And we're going to see God's kingdom come specifically in Cape Town. So that's what we trust for. That's what we pray for. And I also want to just invite you. God is going to stir things on your heart. He's going to put stuff on your heart. And then you must come and we pray about those things. And we are going to know which things that we must do. There's many other plans in a man's heart, but God's counsel, that is going to stand. God's strategy, that's going to stand. That's how we're going to come against society. That's how we're going to present a godly way of life. Now, I'm so aware of just in family and everything. Currently, the family, marriage, everything, society wants to shape it in a way that's comfortable for everyone. They want to shape it in a way that everybody can have some sort of family or have some family in their own way. They have marriage in their own, they redefine everything. That's what the world want to do. They want to redefine everything. But there's a biblical way, there's a godly way, and that's what we want to stand for. That's what we are standing for. It's not always easy. My biggest fights are right in my house. So that's why I get iron. It's tough. The biggest things of these days, my prayers, there's so many prayers just for the children, just for obviously for protection. But it's just suddenly things that I used to pray for, almost got a bit casual about it. Now it's just life or death. Now I will go away on a course or something, and then I just get a report, the children are sick. And you just realize that we're in a war. Also what Bernie talked about, we are in a war and we're fighting a battle. So obviously when the kingdom of God is advancing, the kingdom of darkness must give way. And there's going to be some interaction right there. Okay, so that's what I'm just, it's such a privilege to be part of this church, to be part of all you guys, because we are warriors, we're together fighting in God's army, and we are advancing God's kingdom. So if there's issues, if you don't feel at home, please sort it out. Because we're going to get to a time that we're not going to have time to talk about the little things, and I don't think that guy liked me so much, and I'm not happy with what that guy is doing, and that is really going to become very nitty-gritty in the bigger scheme of things. Where if we just step up the level and we just, yeah, the war is going to intensify a little bit, and then there won't be time to sort out about the little foxes and thingies. But obviously when we can, we must sort those things out. In my house, when Lee and myself, it's always someone must give way. Someone must be prepared to say sorry. Else we just go on and on and on. And it's tough, and then you say, okay, I'm sorry. And the moment I do that, my heart opens up again, and I can receive love. And the moment I say sorry, God can come and He can do something in my heart again. And He can allow me just to, the healing process can start, or I can just see differently again. I can just love again. There's unity again. But so often it's either Lee or myself, we must come and we must say sorry. We must say, please forgive me. I'm wrong. I don't understand. I don't know why this is happening. But that's the beauty about family. And I know that we're not, some of us are still single, fully aware of that. That's good. Enjoy it. Enjoy your time. You can do anything before 7 and after 10. Then you're free to do whatever. Doesn't matter how many children, it's not really going to affect. Okay, maybe if they wake you up at night. But the beauty about family is that acceptance. Okay, I'm just speaking about my own experience. But we are placed together, you're born into a family. And somehow we learn to accept one another. Somehow we see that we must work together, we are different, different abilities, different giftings, different ways of doing things. But there's a freedom in the house for each one to be himself. And I know some of us, we haven't experienced that. We don't have it. We didn't have it in our homes where we grew up. But a little bit later, I'll just talk about just God just bringing hope. And it's what happened tonight. Just God coming. We just experienced something of God. Something of God is speaking to us. But we can always have hope for any situation. We can always stand in faith, no matter what, any situation. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. It's often easy to just give up, say, I had enough, I'm tired, I don't want to fight anymore, I want to give up. Don't give up. At that time, phone a friend. Be a Tacy. for maybe you need a Tacy, or maybe you must be the Tacy. But get together and pray. Get together and talk about these things and just be honest. Even here in Shofar, Cape Town, for me there's a freedom in the house. There's a freedom for each one to come with your giftings, to come with everything that you want to bring. And God is going to use that. And He's going to put specific things on your heart. And it's probably going to happen through the church. Not going to run Lone Ranger. I don't think so. God works through His body. He works through His family. He sets an example for the world. But the freedom I want to talk about is just quickly. I know everybody doesn't have that. But if I walk into my parents' house, I open the fridge and I take whatever I want. Okay? It's my parents' house. There's a freedom in the house. And that chocolate that my mother used to give us every weekend, if I see it's lying there, it's a Friday, then I know I can take one. It's this one of those things. It's the weekend chocolate. And she still buys it, although we're not there to take it. She will buy it and she will put it there. So when you walk in there, the chocolate is there. So there's certain privileges, certain things that I know I can get in my parents' house. And the same thing that for in this house, into God's house. There's an acceptance. There's a freedom in the house. And I'm just aware, sure, while we were just worshiping and everything, that there's just some that you don't have that freedom. You don't have that. You come into God's, into a service like tonight, and in worship, it's as if worship just highlights the things that are wrong in your life. And that's not the intention. Where we can come boldly to the Lord. We can come and say, Lord, here I am before you. Well, that's why God has died. He died for sinners. And it's something that we hear all the time, but it's as if I just need to say it again, that we can stand as sinners before God. He died for us. And I know as we just going to look at a few things. Some things will resonate in your heart. Some things, last time I shared something and the one lady started laughing and she was laughing so loud. And she said, no, don't worry, I could just go on. And I thought, what is she laughing about? And afterwards she shared what she received from the world. She said, I said stuff that was going on in her life. And she so I said, what did I say? And she told me the whole story. And I realized I've never said those things. I don't know where she's getting it. But praise the Lord. But that's the God we serve. He's going to talk to you in a way that you can understand. He's talking to me while I'm just driving here. That's how God is, because He loves us. He loves us so much that He wants us to understand His voice. He wants us to know. So even tonight, certain things will just resonate in your heart. And I just pray that you'll just respond to whatever God is doing in your life. Whatever message you receive. Because that's the God we serve. The Almighty God. And just to continue about the families, obviously it's not, there's something that's very hard to find these days. In church we see healthy families, we see parents dedicating their children. But if we go out, if we just walk around, if we just look at work, it's not so obvious anymore. It's something that used to be there, or used to be more prominent. Might have been religious boundaries that kept things in place. Doesn't matter whatever the reason, but there's still the blessing of God on that, on that family. And that's still God's agent for healing in this world. It's still the family is the foundation. And my prayer tonight is that each one of you'll just decide that this is what you're going to fight for. Obviously, we go into relationships and and you trust God for that girl. Sometimes you get a little bit distracted, but eventually you see someone and you make the choice. This is your wife. And what I just tell the guys we spoke about it at Encounter, wedding everywhere. I tell guys, you must be a one-woman man. One woman. That you decide you're going to love this woman. You're going to lay down your life for this woman. It's a little bit off the topic. But I just feel I must share it. Because there's so many distractions, especially for us men. There's the magazines, there's stuff everywhere you walk. You see a lot of things. You see a lot of women this being portrayed. It's in your face. But we must decide that we're going to be a one-woman man. There's going to be one woman that I'm going to fight for, that I'm going to be the hero for, that I'm going to give my heart for. And we need to do that. We need to make those decisions. And it's much better if you make those decisions now, before you get married, that you've made up your mind. This is how you're going to do things. You've told a few guys, this is what you stand for. You are accountable, and you can fight the good fight, because you will get some resistance from the side. I just want to read you guys a quote from Barry Brazelton, a professor of pediatrics at Harvard. He said, "I was on the National Commission for Children and Families, and we went around the country looking at what was happening to families and children. We found that we are the least child and family-oriented society in the civilized world. And we saw the price that we were paying: angry, contained, unavailable children who can't learn." That is just the result of the broken families. And just something that I was just thinking for, doesn't help us fighting. You're fighting for your family, you're fighting for so many things, fighting for a calling, something that's on your heart, but on the way, you're just abusing people. Your family are just suffering along the way. Just to keep that in mind. That's something I'm constantly busy with and praying about, that God will just show me where to put my attention all the time. Because it's important to engage with people. But engaging with people takes time. That's usually the one thing that I'm fully aware that if I walk down the street and somebody come, they want to talk to me, it takes time. If I just want to obey to what the promptings that God put in my life, it's going to take time. So it's something that I'm praying over, that counting the cost. I'm just aware of a lot of things. So for me, I'm not the best planner in the world. My wife is. She's amazing with planning. I'm not. See, there's a problem there. Right there. If you don't plan, things sometimes don't work so well. Our biggest fight probably is when I say, "Yes, let's do it." And she said, "What about that and that and that?" I said, "Oh, I forgot, sorry." But it's just must just pray and just do the right things. For me, sure, there's a lot of, I hope I make sense, because there's a lot of things that I just feel that God is just want to say. So I'm just hoying it. There's a lot of things that you want to do, but there's also a lot of things that want to take your attention. That's my biggest fight at the moment. It's just a fight for my attention. Where there's Facebook, there's internet, there's sport, there's friends, there's family, there's what God wants you to do. There's all these things. And I think I've mentioned it. When I came back from holiday, being at a place without internet, being at a place without cell phone reception, I heard God, like, it was just amazing. for the best time this year. And I just had the wonderful time with my family, with friends. And it wasn't like it was we didn't spend more time together. It was just that quality time. It was just, I was so present because I was fully aware there's no internet. So that already, that's already 75% freedom. No WhatsApp, nothing. Okay, and that was just for me. I just realized when I come back, this is something that I must fight for. For me to do what God wants me to do, I must manage the distractions. I must manage it well. When I'm not distracted, then you just focus, you just do the right things. So obviously I'm also aware, I'm dependent upon people around me also to help me. Like Lee is very good, she'll say, Yaku, what are you doing? Are you wasting your time? I say, no. I'm working. But I need that. Okay, I'm just honest, I need that. Other people, some of you, we've done the Evergreen Parenting course and all the different, Hetty Brits did amazing research into temperaments and how we all are different and the children are different and how if you like this and your child is like this, this is how you can discipline your children, this is what works best. And if you like this and the other one is like this, you're probably going to clash there. And there's a whole, there's tall trees, a course that just is about the temperaments. And then they just bring it over to bring up children, discipline, things that you must put in your home, house rules, a lot of amazing things. And I just realized that, wow, me and Lee, we're so much different. It helped me so much because I don't worry so much. I just go on. And she's like, there's a way. And we had lots of battles right there, just not understanding each other. And it's getting better and better. And even the children, with Gustav, the strong-willed child, I think I've told some of the stories. But Gustav was so difficult that Lee, she started the ministry, that mommy's groups and stuff. A few years ago, there were no mommy's groups. And she just realized that she doesn't want anyone else to go through that, those difficult times all by themselves. And she really got a heart for the mummies and then first-time parents. They started the mummies groups and different groups formed and they had evenings. And it's all those things, and it was a great thing that started. This was about something that God was doing in our life and something that was really difficult for us. Gustav really drilled us. It just made us very strong and die to yourself. So don't worry, all children are different. Each one is a science on their own. So Samuel and Lucy is way different. But just about family and a godly family, marriage is obviously the foundation. Marriage is obviously the foundation from where we work. That's what we must fight for. We all know in Genesis 2, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They create a home. They create a house. They create a place of safety, of protection. Something, a home for their children. A place where godly children can be born into, and a place where they can help children to walk into their destiny and their calling. Where they can prepare the children and teach them the way that they should go, and then you pray that they will not depart from that. That is just the foundation. And that's what I want each one of us. That's what we must fight for. That's what we must pray for. And I don't want us to, if you don't come out of that house, God can turn that situation around. Or if you didn't experience a godly family. We're not going to look at all the results of that. I'm just putting the one side in front of us. But I can stand here confident knowing that God can turn any situation around. else we wouldn't have been here. So there's the companionship, there's the acceptance. Obviously, the main thing, that covenant that we make before God. So you know God is committed to your relationship, to the marriage. God is committed to your house. That for me is, that's what's keeping everything in place. Just God's commitment. That I can walk into my home, there's absolute chaos. Wife crying, baby crying, child crying. Chaos. And I know God, you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now I need you to come through for me because here is chaos. I don't know what to say, what to do. If I'm going to say something, it's probably not going to be the right thing. I probably forgot something, and just come through for me. And then it is real life. Then it is very real life. If you believe God is real, or if you just had a religious relationship, not just religious about what you believe, then everything comes home. It's right there. You need God, you're real. You must step into this situation. And God is so faithful. I've got so many stories of God's protection, just praying over family, just praying for also for broken relationships, just receiving words, exactly what's going on in the situation. Where God, yeah, so many times, He tells me this is what's going on, this is what that one is thinking, this is what they're doing, pray for this. And I pray for that thing and everything comes right. And I know that I didn't do anything. It's only God. I'm fully aware of that. So that is the marriage, the foundation. Hebrews 13 verse 4 talks about let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. And that be held in honor, the Amplified talks about esteemed worthy and of great price. It's something very valuable, something amazing, something beautiful that we must fight for. It's really something that we must fight for and protect. Psalm 128 verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. So it's a very nice picture of a godly family. Things are looking well. The wife is like the vine, the children like olives. But those vine and olive trees and all those things, it demands some work. You can't just leave the stuff and let it just grow. You must be actively involved. We must pray. We must do stuff. It's something that we must fight for that perfect picture that we see. Something that Scripture holds up for us, that we can live for. And I really want to really encourage you. I just feel that some of us tonight, you hear all these things, but it's very hard to believe that it can happen. Obviously, because a lot of things happened in your past or what you're currently seeing. And, yeah, we serve a good God. We don't always understand everything, but we pray and we don't give up. And we fight for justice. We fight for what is right. And I have a lot of battles I couldn't fight on my own. We are involved people. And I just want to encourage you, involve the people around you. Involve the small group. Because this is what we fight for, that healthy family, that marriage that's stable. But sometimes it's just very, very hard. Then you need those brothers, those people around you. You need to stand together. The moment in my life where I was, well, where I just experienced the biggest change was when people spoke into my life. And they say, what are you doing there? What are you doing here? Stop that. Do this. Life-changing moments. But I allow certain people to come close to me and just open my heart. Because what you want to do, you want to be a lone ranger and pull out the guns and be the man and live happily ever after. But it's not so easy. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemy in the gates. And this the house and the city, it's really talking about family as well, talking about different size families that God is building. And it's talking about this allowing God to be part of our life. Even when you're single, you still represent a family. You still represent relationships. You still represent life. Life can flow through you. Because that in my house, when I bring the righteousness of God into my life, into my house, that's just opening the gates for God to come and to do his thing. That is being a vessel in God's hand. And some of you are in difficult situations or relationships right now, but you are placed there as an agent of the Lord. I just feel you've got a some sort of a weapon with which you can just open a door. You can open a door for God's love, for God's presence to come into that relationship. And I'm not sure if it's at your workplace or where. I just feel that it's like a black wall, and you can just take the weapon and create a hole in that for God's goodness to flow through there. But it's something that you will have to fight for, because you are God's only agent in that place, and he's the one that you want to use. So you can either look at that and be discouraged, don't feel that you're making progress, or you can keep on fighting and experience the victory. Psalm 186 verse 5 says, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. We need to call on the Lord. We need to find that word of God for our situation, for our house, for our family. And I'm fully aware that things are not just simple. You just don't talk about things. And I also need to go back to my house and sit down with the family. And we also need to pray together and find out what is God telling us to do. What's the reason we are together as a family? And then we can bring it to church. And we already know that we are taking Cape Town as a church. We're bringing God's justice and righteousness in this place. We're very aware of that. That's what we're doing. But we need to make God part of our situations, wherever we are. Like Proverbs 14 said, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. That is something that you can put up and say, the tent of the upright will flourish. Lord, I take this scripture, I pray it through, I stand on this. I claim it. Another scripture will be Proverbs 11:21. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. That's something that I will pray over my children. That you are mighty warriors. You are going to do mighty things. And you ask God for those specific scriptures for them. Just quickly from focus on the family, as I bring them in here as well. They've got like a whole introduction on their website. I did go on the internet during the week. So investing in families is one of the things that they've put up there. They said, did you know that more and more young people say that having a happy marriage and family is the most important goal, more important than wealth or a good job? But many young people today don't know how to have a happy family life because it's not modeled to them anymore. And that's also the responsibility of everyone that's married in this church. We need to also to model to other people, to show the way, to show that you can be married for a long time, till the end. Marriage is the foundation of the family. That's the other, almost like a core values. The relationship with God destined to last a lifetime. I said parents are the strongest influence in a child's life, so they invest in the families, they strengthen marriages, they support the parents, and then they engage in the culture. Family is the foundation of a healthy society. And obviously, as Christians, we play a key role in shaping our communities, our nation, politics, everything, the whole world. So we must be involved. Where we are involved, we model. We model a godly marriage. We model that healthy family. We model that good relationship. We model these things, what we fight for. I just want to quote a few things from a document about healthy families by Glenn Stanton. She said that healthy families are a community's most effective social justice agent. That's the best way to change the community, to bring justice. And they took 4 points. They said strong families are among the most effective mechanisms for lifting people out of and keeping them safe from poverty, keeping them safe and away from domestic, sexual, and physical violence, educational failure, and crime in their communities. So they're just going for healthy families. That's what they go for. They pull all the stats. Like for example, poverty. They said parental unemployment used to be the primary indicator of childhood poverty. But it's not anymore. In the last few decades, childhood poverty has a closer correlation with family structure. For single-parent households, things like that, where the family structure just got broken down, that is now the strongest indicator of poverty. There's Professor Galston. He was a policy advisor for Bill Clinton. He said, they took 3 things. They said people that finish high school, they marry before they have children, and they marry after the age of 20. Those are very good indicators that you won't have poverty in your life. I don't know all the statistics how they do it, but they said they reckon only 8% of people that got those things in place and their children, only 8% of them are poor. Obviously, I'm not sure about the classification for poor, while 79% of those who fail to do these are impoverished. And then they continue, they say, it is no exaggeration to say that the stable two-parent family is an American child's best protection against poverty. And the same, we can continue about violence. They look at violence, they look at all the indicators. And when there's a stable family, you've got less violence. They just pull all the stats, there's a lot of data. And then they continue educational failure of children. The leading contributor to academic achievement by school children was family structure. And then lastly, the crime in the community. The Community Crime Research from Stanford University finds that such family measures as the percentages of the population divorced, the percentages of households headed by women, and the percentage of single males of any age in the community are among the most powerful predictors of crime rates. So another study continued, and they said there's a direct relationship between crime and fatherless families. So strong that controlling for family configuration, that just become the benchmark at which they look at the crime rates, the poverty, and a lot of other things. All linked back to healthy families. But again, I want to say that these are just this is like the best. This is a healthy family, and you have these things. Or a healthy family, or this is what we can have. But be fully aware of, we live in a broken world, and everything is not like this, where all the families are perfectly healthy families. But that's why we are in a church. That's why we are in a family of believers. That's why we can be a father for the fatherless. We can step into situations. We can be a mother for someone. We can make a difference. And we are confident of that, obviously, because of God and God that's in our life. And that's what we put up. That's what we fight for. Obviously, we have the stats. I give you guys the stats because this is we as children of God. This is stuff that we can fight for. But obviously, the devil is also in this world. We don't live in a perfect world where you can do all the perfect stuff and everything at the end is still perfect. But we can be confident that we can fight for what is good. And I don't want anyone to lose hope. Obviously you can have a very difficult situation. I respect that. But then I would like to pray with you. Even if we can just pray, we can stand in agreement and we can trust God to come into that situation to make a change. Psalm 33 verse 5 says, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love." And even in the Bible, we know God's love, we're aware of God's love, but we see also a lot of broken families in the Word of God. We see Jacob and Esau and all the fights and what they do in the birthrights and Eli with his sons and Jacob's daughter, Dinah, that Shechem sleeps with Dinah, and then the two brothers go and they somehow kill all the people from Shechem. So there's a lot of stuff going on. There's Joseph with his brothers that sell him, and there he goes to Egypt. We don't read a lot about just a healthy family, that everything was great and this is how they did it. But there's a lot of example of broken families. You can just go through the Old Testament. The Bible is full of examples of children that messed up, sons that messed up, this one that's sleeping with that one's concubine, and this and that and that, and it's a lot of things. But it's also full of God's promises and how God came and delivered those situations, how God came and He turned situations around, how God came. And like Revelation 7 talks about, He will dry up the tears. Our God came and He dried up those tears. He turned the situations around. And even from those families, life came. Even from broken families, the deliverers of Israel came. That's full of that in the Old Testament. So I encourage you to just read through the Old Testament. Read about these stories. Read how God came and intervened, and just change everything around. It is all there. And John Piper, He's got this term he called Christian hedonism. It's a bit of a funny word, but he summarized it this way. He said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I'm just going to read that again. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And in another way, when we desire God with all our hearts, we will know pleasure beyond anything this world has to offer. When we desire God to be in our situation, in our family, in our life, our relationships, we will start to experience a joy, something that this world cannot give us, something that this world in no terms can compare with. That is there for us. But it's also, we must allow God to come in. We must make God part of that situation, part of your house. And just lastly, just for myself, I allow the Word of God to dictate my life. It's just a few pointers that I just tried to do in my house. Last time I shared some of these things. I'll tell you now which one I'm working on the most. Just allow the Word of God to dictate your life. All Scripture is inspired by God. So obviously, we talk about just showing love to the world. That's really a key thing that we will have to get right. We have to show love to one another in families and also to people around us. That's just a key for us to bring justice. Because in the world, everyone is for themselves. Everyone is fighting their own battle. So it's very easy to impress someone. It's very easy as a company to impress your customers. You just do what you're supposed to do. Because not many is doing it anymore. And just prayer and worship. Worship is something that I just want to make part of my house again. We used to do it often as a family. Just full blast, just worship the Lord, just freedom. Kiddies running around and do their own thing and dancing, but it brings such a freedom into your house. And I just share these thoughts. And lastly, just making that time set aside for the Lord. Time where it's only you and God, and you do business. If we neglect those times, then we will really struggle. But if we make it a priority, we get ideas, we get thoughts, we get ways of doing things. You just see God coming into your situation, changing your life. Even as a programmer, it worked. Sitting there for 3 days and I can't move forward. I say, Lord, help me. And the stuff just came. So you guys can stand, please. I shared a lot of things, so. But basically, I just want you tonight to have hope for your situation, hope for your family, hope for your house. And that's stuff that we must fight for. And in this house, we are family in this house. We're going to do it together. We're going to live for God together. And we're going to bring God's kingdom on this earth. Or we're going to be a part of that, of God's kingdom that's coming on this earth. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. And as we just worship, as we just sing another song, I just want you to respond to your to your situation. You pray to God. You say, Lord, you mean business with God. You just, where you are, while we worship, we're going to sing a song. We're going to be in front. Obviously, if you want to pray with someone, you can come. We're going to trust God for your situation. And then after that, we'll be finished, and some of you guys can go to the founders. But we will still hang around. But my prayer is just that tonight, this is not a once-off. It must become a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, something that we fight for what is right. Let us worship God.